Hey guys, I don't know if you're like me, but I love Count the Dings and everything it has to offer. I just can't find everything I need. You know, I know about Cinephobe, and I know about the mailbag, and I know about Bomb, but that's all we do, right, Amin?
No, we do so much more.
What?
Yeah, absolutely. If you sign up, patreon.com/countthedings, you'll find a plethora of other content, fresh content, extended content, the OG Pod Overflow, the Cinephobe Cold Opens that we've taken and made their own thing to live only there, the Rewatchingtons, Bomb in its full and unadulterated cut, early drops of Cinephobe episodes, and so much more.
You said the OG Pod. Now, is it new or is it old?
Mace, I'm glad you asked that. It is a new incarnation of the old OG Pod.
Oh.
So it's me, Zach, Trey, Waz, Tom.
I love those guys.
Just like we always were, going back to the True Hoop days, we're recreating that magic, recapturing it, and putting it back out. We're talking hoops, we're talking pop culture, and most importantly, we're talking for 40 minutes for free, but then another specific Patreon exclusive segment for every one of those episodes.
Funny enough about that OG Pod, you're getting Tom and Trey on Mondays, you're getting me and Waz, aka Zosny, on Wednesdays. Amin's floating in between.
I'm a floater.
You never know when you're going to get Amin in those, so you got to listen to them all.
And what if I'm not sure what Maze looks like, because I've always thought he's a fat man with a fedora, he's got a weird voice. How can I see for myself what this Maze character actually looks like?
It's crazy you don't know the answer to this because it's the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page.
What?
The CT5s on the Cinephobe Pod YouTube page. You can look at all of us.
You can get all the OG pods on YouTube too, at Count the Dings 1 on YouTube, at Cinephobe Pod on YouTube. Patreon.com/countthedings gets you everything all in one feed. You can link it to your Spotify. And now enjoy the show.
Hey, listener, Zach Harper here. Underdog Fantasy, the easiest place to play fantasy sports. Also, fastest growing fantasy app in the industry. Here's how it works. The Pick'em game. Pick whether your favorite players will have a higher or lower stat total in this week's game for a chance to win big. How big, you ask? I'm so glad you asked that question, listener. You can win up to 100 times your money in a single night. Pick between 2 and 5 players, build a pick'em entry. You can also do rivals picks. You can put like Tyrese Haliburton and Jalen Brunson against each other, and whoever has more points, more assists, more rebounds, whatever you want to do, that is your rivals pick. I would maybe go with Jalen Brunson in these playoffs. By the way, in the regular season, Jalen Brunson, scoring tear, going higher on his point totals all the time. Joel Embiid, whenever he did actually play, higher on his scoring totals all the time. Victor Wembanyama, for the next 15, 20 years, here's a pro tip for you, take higher on the blocks. That's right. So you're probably wondering, how do you sign up? Oh my God, listener, you are full of good questions today. Sign up with the promo code DING, that's D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. $250, man, that's a lot. Visit underdogfantasy.com or find them in the App Store. And don't forget to register with our code DING, D-I-N-G, to claim your special pick and first-time deposit offer, up to $250 in bonus cash. Must be 18 or older, 21 or older in Massachusetts, Arizona, 19 or older in Alabama and Nebraska, and present in a state where Underdog Fantasy operates. Terms apply. Concerned with your play, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.ncpgambling.org. Arizona 1-800-NEXT-STEP, that's 1-800-639-8783, or text NEXT STEP to 53342. New York, call the 24/7 HOPE line at 1-877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369.
Another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24/7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hi everyone, Tim Kitzer here from NBA Jam and NFL Blitz. and you're listening to Growing Up the Same with Trayvon Edwards and Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka. And now here's your starting lineup. Trayvon Edwards, Jason Madison. Ooh, boom shakalaka.
And we have our special guest today, Trevor Scales. What's going on?
Fellas, how we doing? How we doing? Appreciate you having me thoroughly.
Oh, man, we good, brother. Thanks for coming on. Trevor Scales is the co-host of Sports Nation and the host of Sports Center on Snapchat.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Good old time over there at ESPN, trying to kick it.
And now it's time for the one or the two with Jay Skills.
Princeton or Yale?
Oh, Jesus. I'm like, now one of them. I'll go Yale because I respect them more.
Running back or tailback?
Ooh, I'm from the South. We called it tailback from day one.
UFC or boxing?
Ooh, that's a good one. I've been on the UFC wave lately, and I'm a big fan of Israel Adesanya, so I'll go UFC.
I'm going to go Daft Punk songs, Get Lucky or One More Time?
Ooh, Get Lucky. Better vibe for me.
Simpsons or Family Guy?
Family Guy.
Hard Knock Life or The Blueprint?
I'll go Blueprint.
Me Against the World or All Eyes on Me?
All Eyes on Me.
Rumble in the Bronx or Romeo Must Die?
Ooh. Romeo Must Die.
Van Gogh or Monet?
Man, you caught me slipping on that one. I got nothing for you. I recognize Van Gogh, so we'll go there. I recognize both of them as artists, but like I just know more Van Gogh, I guess.
Yeah. Marvin Gaye or Teddy P?
So I have What's Going on vinyl, and I'm dying to get me a Teddy P record on vinyl. Let's go, Marvin. Let's go, Marvin.
Whitney or Diana Ross?
Diana Ross.
Luther or Nate Dogg?
Fat Luther.
Isley Brothers or Earth, Wind, and Fire?
Isley Brothers. Yeah, we'll go Isley Brothers there.
Stevie Wonder or Michael Jackson?
My soon-to-be father-in-law will kill me, but I'm going to go Michael Jackson.
Dr. J or Wilt?
Dr. J.
Earl the Pearl or Bill Russell?
Bill Russell.
Cats or dogs?
Dogs. I got a French bulldog sitting next to me right now.
Carl Lewis or Michael Johnson?
The gold spikes. I'm going with Michael Johnson, bro.
Gail Devers or Flo-Jo?
Ooh. Flo-Jo off the swagger.
Allison Felix or Marion Jones?
Marion was a legend. Like all the way. Yeah, I'm going to go Marion Jones.
Usain Bolt or Jesse Owens?
Okay, but see, like, damn. All right, see, Usain the greatest to ever do it. Like, we done seen that time and time again. But I can't go against my countrymen and, like, the black liberation icon that is Jesse Owens. So I'm going to go Jesse Owens.
Eric Dickerson or Herschel Walker?
Oh, man, Eric Dickerson after what I've seen from Herschel lately.
Barry Sanders or Marshawn Lynch?
See, I'm almost always inclined to go Barry Sanders, but Marshawn Lynch is the one dude that can throw that off. Sorry, Barry. I'm going to go Marshawn.
Garrison Hurst or Ricky Waters?
Garrison Hurst.
Reggie Bush or Ricky Williams?
Ricky Williams. Ricky Williams.
Adrian James or Derrick Henry?
Edrin, South Florida. I'll go with it.
Mike Jones or Paul Wall?
Paul Wall.
Yep. UGK or 3-6 Mafia?
Oh, jeez. This is awful. Ah, man. 3-6. 3-6.
No Limit or Cash Money?
Cash Money.
Dolly Parton or Reba McEntire?
Dolly the goat.
Equimini or Stankonia?
Equimini.
Mark Zuckerberg or the Winklevi?
I can get them both out the paint. Mark.
Street Fighter or Mortal Kombat?
Street Fighter.
Sonic or Mario?
Mario, Nintendo guy growing up.
Mario Kart or Super Smash Brothers?
Super Smash Bros.
Call of Duty or Halo?
Halo. Halo.
GTA or GoldenEye?
I used to be Odd Job back in the day. We'll go GoldenEye.
PlayStation or Xbox?
Got a PlayStation at the crib right now.
Batman or Superman?
Superman. Batman is just a wealthy dude that goes around kicking people's ass at night.
Star Wars or Marvel?
Marvel.
Nike or Adidas?
Nike.
And the last one, Stone Mountain or Atlanta?
Stone Mountain all day, East Atlanta. Zone 6, we out here. Come on now.
That's the one of the two.
Say word. Say word. I like that. Nice little rapid fire joint.
Yeah,
he got it going.
Kudos, Trey. It wasn't no 30 minute this time, brother.
Nah, it was decent, man. Like I said, I can't complain with it, man. It was straight, bro.
See, that's my understanding. Like, we're doing like a TV, a broadcast, a podcast type deal. If I'm under the impression that we're going rapid fire, we could do rapid fire. We could stop down and talk and have nuance if we need to. But I'm cool with just rolling through stuff.
Yeah, no, a lot of guests, you know, it depends on the guest.
Yeah,
a lot of them will like make that segment almost the whole show. Where it's like they start talking about why they picked a certain one, and then they tell a story about it, and it's like a whole thing, you know. But some people are like you and just go rapid fire and like take it how it is.
Yeah, I'm with it. I'm with it.
Trey,
yo, what's up with me?
What are you doing Tuesday night, bro?
I'm watching Solar Nation. What are you talking about?
Oh, that's right, man. It comes out Tuesday night. What's that? 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on ABC?
10 p.m. for me.
Now, you're the one that actually put me onto this. This is a show about Black people, by Black people, for all people, about the Black experience in America. This thing is fearless. It's truthful. It's funny. It's unapologetic. It's uplifting. And there will be the most incredible music involved and big stars. Trey, how many episodes of Soul of the Nation you think they're gonna be? One, maybe one and a half?
Nah, it's gonna be six. We're gonna stretch this thing out. You're gonna stretch it out. Six. I mean, we have Black History Month. This is gonna stretch all the way into April. This is great.
It's powerful. It's just impossible to turn away from once you start watching, and it's coming to ABC Tuesday nights. Soul of a Nation. It's taking viewers inside the lived experience of Black America. Be there as history is made. Tuesdays, 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on ABC, or check your local listings. Soul of a Nation on ABC America. Get ready for this.
All right, we're going to zoom to the blast for the blast for the past. I don't know why I'm telling
you. Blast
from the past. Hey, so tell me what's young Trevor's relationship with music?
Oh, man. So it's associated with long car rides to school in the mornings, mainly, and back from school, because lived on the east side of Atlanta, went to the north side to go to school, white side of town. I was blessed enough to be able to ride out there because my parents used to work on that side of town. Mom was an accountant, pops was in sales. And so they were able to drop me off. And so in those car rides, we would basically alternate. Like, I'd get one day where I get to listen to my station. My mom would get another day to listen to her station, or same deal with pops. And I just grew up with such a varied sort of catalog of things that I can appreciate now because of those different car rides that I experienced, man. Like, and even when I got to drive my own whip, 16 years old, I'm picking all kinds of things off the map. You remember when you used to mess up your parents' computers, burning CDs and whatnot? Like, I just had all kinds of stuff on there between Marvin Gaye, the OJs, Isley Brothers, all that stuff. And obviously all my stuff that was in vogue then. And that even like ran the gamut from like 808s and Heartbreak to all kinds of crunk music with Lil Jon and the East Side Boys and stuff like that. Like, I appreciated the car rides to kind of expose me to music. And to this day, that's what I use as my way to kind of get a gauge on what I'm feeling, what I'm interested in.
What are you currently listening to now?
Oh, let me just pull up the library right quick. See what we got latest. Stand by.
Yeah, I used to burn CDs for people at school.
Yep.
I would actually make the cake, like the cover, I would copy the cover on my, like on my printer and like cut around it and cut it out and make it like a whole regular CD.
Duh, you was next level with it.
Yeah, yeah. That was, that was my hustle. Like, that's why I got my brand. I got it on bootleg.
That is live. That is live. So were you like making a profit off that, bud? Like as soon as right?
I went to Fairfax. So the school, I don't know if you know about LA, but it's right on Fairfax and Melrose. Dang. So, you know, we after school, I was the kid who was going to, you know what I'm saying, Johnny Rockets to eat the double cheeseburger, go to Hip Foot Locker. I might buy me some Adidas 2 for 89.
Oh, you was living like a 27-year-old.
Oh, yeah. No, I was really that guy. You know what I'm saying? No cap.
That's live. That's live. So in the rotation now, man, courtesy of that last versus, I went back and started listening to D'Angelo stuff again between Voodoo, Black Messiah, that Gang Signs track from Freddie Gibbs, then JID with Ballads. Like, that's been, I kind of get stuck on stuff and I'll just listen to it on repeat.
My girl loves that Gang sign song. She be playing it in the shower. Like,
that's a sick shower song. You mentioned that your parents played a radio station around you, and you know, that kind of not evolved your sound of what you liked, but what specifically stuck out to you?
I remember after Luther Vandross died, my mom had a 6-CD changer in her Lexus, and all 6 of them CDs was Luther. And she did not let me touch the radio for a good 6 months. Like, we had to ride to Luther for 6 months straight. Anytime I was in the car with my mom and she wasn't listening to nothing else. And so, like, I just, those are the sorts of memories that stick out for me. And that one in particular, because my mom and I are super close. And that I remember how that impacted her. He was just one of her favorite artists. And when that happened, I remember getting a healthy dose of Luther Vandross's music for a good little while.
What's your top 5 Luther tracks?
Oh my God, dog. All right. My mom played Dance with My Father till the wheels fell off.
Till the cows came home.
Dog, so like that's gotta be in it.
Yeah.
I gotta go. You caught me on guard. I'm gonna have to go back and listen to, like, I'd have to pull up Luther's Essentials or something figure out.
Never Too Much might be my number one.
Yes.
If This World Were Mine is in my top 5.
Yep.
I like Stop to Love.
Here and Now is actually one of
Here
mine.
Here and Now, yeah.
Here and Now, is fire. Yeah, that might be my favorite. That
I would be half sleeping infomercial if you playing that.
Any Love is a classic.
Yep.
Here's the thing, Trevor. When we released the episode, you quote retweet the episode with your favorite 5.
Yeah. Got you. There you go. I can do that.
That gave you some breathing room right there.
as a jump off to that question too, though, because I had this experience. I think we all had this experience. Trevor, I want you to answer it too. What musicians that, not celebrity, musicians that affected you the most, where you just had to play their music nonstop for like weeks or days or however long?
Okay. So I had long rides home from football practice in high school when I was driving, finally, where I had to drop off a couple of my homeboys, like roll through, and I associate that drive home, like the long drive home, with 808s and Heartbreak. So like Kanye has been like a part of my sort of deal from day one. So like that specific record actually is one that I associate with my high school time. When I got to college, Crit was kind of bursting on the scene. And so Crit Was Here all the way through the most recent EP that he dropped in TDT. Like, I associate his music a lot with my sort of developmental phase and coming of age as a man, essentially. Cass is the one I associate with childhood. My very first uncensored CD was Thank On You when it was unedited. And I remember being astounded that they had naked women on the actual CD. Like, I had no idea that they were kicking it like that. I was like, oh yeah, it's just a regular CD whenever I pulled out the, you know, the clean version or whatever. And I was mind blown. I was like, they were kicking it like this the whole time and didn't tell nobody nothing. And it was just an understood rule. But like, I say that those three artists, I think I can associate with different periods of my childhood. I remember riding into school playing The Love Below on repeat, specifically Prototype. I ran that track till the wheels fell off. I just kept running that track back so often. But yeah, those three artists, I think, would say shaped a lot of like what my musical taste is today, as like they're just associated with memories.
All right. For me, Jason, especially like a death or something, obviously that made me just kind of pay homage immediately. Obviously, when you're too young for like Tupac, Biggie to like have that access. So when you think pro streaming era and a person being able to have that access and just play it unlimited, you know what I mean? I would probably think Prince. Nipsey Hussle. Trying to think of another artist currently that I just kind of just like reflected, like, damn, they're gone. Probably those two artists, because when, you know, I was watching Hip Hop Uncovered, it was like Nipsey's death was like the first where the world had access to like receive and also give you real time feelings on actual time. Tupac is like, you're young, but it was like pre-internet.
Yeah.
Right.
Pre-internet. Like a lot of rap, you know, hip hop deaths were all pre-internet, but this one was like, you could pour out your real feelings right there. Right. You know what I'm saying? And it hit harder than anything else. So like maybe Prince, because, you know, you just like, that's an immortal person, you feel like. Right. Michael Jackson obviously was 09, but
yeah,
it was right then and there where I can have that effect. And now you can actually throw up a post and say, damn, I grew up, I used to wear the church socks and da-da-da. Yeah. You know what I mean? Things of that nature. So maybe Prince, MJ, and Nipsey in this current streaming service era. You know what I mean?
I would agree, bro. For me, it's the same. And then I would say, even like, Nip is definitely at the top for me, but I discovered really Mac Miller like after he
passed. So Mac Miller actually is a good one too, because if you were rocking with him, cool. But then as more bloggers wrote about him, as more content came out, as more interviews came out, and people had time to sit to get to know the person, had time to understand how precious life is and how young and ahead of the curve. And also he was considered basically hip hop's little brother. You know what I'm saying? He never disrespected.
And so and that's my best. So I misunderstood the question. My apologies, Jason. But like Mac is the one for me that really did stick out as in his passing. That was one of those ones that you went back to. I remember the day my now fiance was up here the day after he passed. And I couldn't help but play every last one of his records that I knew of, like Between Kids, Swimming, watching movies with the sound off, all that stuff. It kind of makes you reflect on the human being and what he was going through. Yeah. And it made you wonder, like, what kind of mental state he was in at that time. And that's, 1,000%. Mac might be at the top for me, but Nip was a close second. I have a lyric of his in my bio on Twitter right now. Like, that just was one of those ones that took the wind out of you the moment you heard it.
Sure.
Absolutely. So what was your connection with sports growing up?
Dog, football's king down south. And that's like a large part of what I did when it comes to hobbies, man. We talked about it a little bit before we even fired this thing up. Like, I didn't have much time for much else because I was busy doing stuff that either had to do directly with football or was indirectly associated with football. So between running track, playing football, a lot of my time outside of what I was doing for school was that. And it was the point of true relationship with my father too. My dad played running back all the way through college at an HBCU, Lincoln University, up in Jefferson City, Missouri. And so I played the same position as him unknowingly, right? Like, it wasn't anything that was forced on me. My pops made a deliberate decision not to force football on me. Like, we always watched football and it was cool. But I started playing at the age of 9 under my own fruition. And that was like a big empowerment thing for me to know that I wanted it more than anything. Now, there were some days where I hated it, like, just like anything you're doing too long, too much of your life. But I credit it with shaping a lot of who I am as a man today. Just the experiences you go through, the understanding of working within a team, your responsibility on a daily basis to be on top of your stuff and to lift up those around you. I credit sports with so much of my mindset today.
I'm glad you mentioned that your dad didn't force it, because, again, I was going to ask the question of who influenced you, but it seems like it was self-influence. Was it just one of those things that, all right, you know, you caught pictures around the crib, like, yo, Pops used to play ball. And then also spending time with him and just having that fiery moment of like, when I get older, I'm going to do that.
Yeah. Yeah. It was much more of like just the subconscious exposure, like possibly watching football games on Saturdays and Sundays. And I'd just be down there kicking it with them, not really knowing what I was watching, but knowing that there was excitement surrounding it and people got fired up for it. And down south, you see football everywhere and everything that you do, from the commercials that are airing during live spots and like everything alluding to football season and the allure that's associated with it. And so, like, I became attracted to it through any other mechanism. Like, it's just built up as this thing you do down south that, like, you go out, you play ball, you try your hand at it, and if you find a little love, what do you stick with it? And so, yeah, no, that was, like, the sort of my path to the game. And I saw it as a vehicle for me to get an education and potentially even make a career out of. And knowing that I could have all of that courtesy of this sport, like, it meant a lot to me.
Yeah, that was kind of similar to, like, my dad. Like, I used to hear, like, my dad obviously just stopped playing football his senior year, but allegedly he was nice. And, you know, before he chose the street life instead, bro, like, I would always hear, like, yeah, your dad always wanted you to play football. And my mom and my grandma was like, nah, we don't want you to get hurt. It wasn't even about concussions. It's just like, yo, you just getting hurt. And I was like, I was kind of a chubby kid for a little bit, and then I just sprouted out and became like really thin. So ideally everybody used to be like, oh, Jordan. So by the time I was of age, you know, I played Pop Warner football. I was like 9 around your age. And then after that, when I got to high school, I went to a basketball school first and then I transferred. Now, when you went to the other school, you had to be elite to play both sports. You know what I mean? So when I ended up transferring to Compton High, at the particular time, they weren't really good at the time at any sports. So I had the luxury of playing VAR football, VAR basketball. I ran VAR track. I even played shortstop. So I got a chance to do everything. But when I did play football, my Pop Warner coach actually happened to be the head coach now at the high school. So he's like, yo, I know you hooping. I know you don't need this, but we can use a wide receiver. And I was fast at the time because I ran track too. So I'm like, all right, whatever. Listen, I wasn't cut out for that stuff. I think I started off at quarterback first. I was okay. I threw sidearm, oddly.
Yeah.
And
the baseball took
more advantage of everything. I tried quarterback for a little bit. Wasn't getting too many reps at that thing, so I switched to skill position, play wide receiver. I got hit a couple of times. We didn't have any – the crazy thing about Compton High, we had no budget for a training staff. So I'm pretty sure I probably played with a couple of concussions. But I didn't want to go to the middle. So most of the time I was all streaks. They would use me for like 99 routes. You know what I'm saying? I ran a 4.2. So
yeah. Is that, and
you know what I'm saying? They like right. 99, go bring Trey in. I come in and do some stuff like that. But senior year, I actually had some college looks and I was just like, nah, I'm never going to get big. I'm just now hitting 180 at 36. Like I was probably 140, bro, in high school, but I was just linky.
And that's the thing, like, folks want to make fun of the cats that, like, avoided all the hits, but, like, they probably better off nowadays than them cats that went across.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy thing about it. Like, we – Polly was in our, you know, in our conference. So we would see Herschel Dennis. We would see, you know, Junior Malele and Mercedes Lewis. Like you just know some dudes are just like –
they ain't got no business doing
it. Deshaun Jackson. Like, Deshaun Jackson was a freshman when I was a senior. I ran against – I played against him. He wasn't even the best receiver. Derrick Jones was. Derrick Jones made it to the Raiders and then something happened, but he averaged 230 receiving yards on us. And then him and Deshaun Jackson were running in the 4x1.
Oh, jeez.
They ran at like 3.09.
But hey, in the 4x4. Trey, you definitely would have bulked up. Like, it was cats that I know that bulked up at Fairfax just by
well, they was before. Like, that's the thing. Me playing basketball, I was so nervous that I would lose my hops. Because everybody was taking creatine. Everybody's lifting crazy. Yeah. And, like, if you don't have somebody that comes back and tells you, like, if I would have had, like, Baron come back and be like, look, you lift weights, you still won't lose your hop. Like, it was all word of mouth. Like, look, hey, bro, don't add no extra weight. You ain't
gonna, right.
I'm jumping, like, bro, like, 38, 40. Like, I could go, I could reverse, do all this contact at 146.1. So think about trying to be 186-1. I'd be looking like Eric Bledsoe out there, bro. I'm cool.
Hey, I'm just saying. Hey. Trev, did you have any like magical games in high school where you really just balled out?
Oh man, I'd have to go back in the memory bank quite far. Like I got ones from Harvard that I could give you that are like better games for me. Like
yeah,
four touchdowns against Brown was great. My last game against Yale put me over 1,000 yards for the season, like in my career, or excuse me, 1,000 yards for that season. Mm-hmm. To end the career and everything like that. High school, man, there were some games like the bad part was like we had a pretty solid squad my senior year. Yeah. And so I'd play like a half of football and then I'd be done. So like I'd get one half in and I'm not racking up no more stats. It was
so one half would be like what 140 some yards?
I get to two bills. With like with three touchdowns, and then
hey, you out here looking like NCAA football creative player. You juicing a player, bro. That's sick.
Right. And for those that don't know, my man went to Harvard. We didn't announce that, but that's definitely on the resume. We gotta let that be known.
Nah, appreciate that, man. We just kind of let that float out there when it needs.
Right,
to.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Hey, and lastly, what's your connection with gaming?
Oh man! So
I know you consider yourself a lightweight gamer. So
yeah, see, and I'm trying to get back into it. Matter of fact, right? I got the PS4 sitting in there. I haven't even tried my hand at the PS5 because I didn't see that it's worth sneaker drops right about now. I used to be like all Nintendo growing up. Like, so I had Super Nintendo, N64, GameCube, and Wii growing up. And my homeboys in my neighborhood, right? One of them would have the Microsoft system, so he'd have like the Xboxes. Whenever we needed. And then my other homeboy, we had a PlayStation. And so we would just rotate through each other's houses, go play the systems and kind of have our own online profile, whatever have you. And that was like before we could do the online stuff where we could hop on the headsets and just kick it with each other via that. And so like, I just remember the late nights, you know, playing till 4 a.m. when your mama told you to go to bed long before that and trying to sneak on and play with the TV on mute and shit like that. So that's just like my association with gaming. Like it was just that childhood memory, the nostalgia of playing like the Super Mario Brothers, the Super Smash Brothers, getting heated with stuff, throwing the controller if you need to. My little bro, like, you know, he'd be complaining about me playing the game too much. He go complain to my mom. I gotta hand him a controller, but not plug it in, so he think he playing stuff like that. Like I just, it's all that stuff that we all did. Just to kind of like just satisfy the need of hopping on the game for a little while.
What system did you start on?
Started on Super Nintendo.
Super Nintendo is fire.
Yeah, dog.
I didn't have one.
Did y'all see that thing recently? Not to cut you off, Trey. No, did y'all see that thing recently that said blowing on a cartridge doesn't work?
Okay, so that's bullshit. No.
That's bullshit. Everybody knows that blowing on the cartridge works.
And if it really got serious, you take the swab, the Q-tip, and dip it in some rubbing alcohol and swipe inside that motherfucker it off too.
I put mine in the freezer.
Really?
Yeah. Listen, bro, I did everything in public. First of all, I'm pretty sure we weren't supposed to do none of that stuff. But whatever it took for it to work, I didn't even care. I was firing it up. But Super Nintendo was a good system to start on. Yeah. My grandma was just here, like, choose up, bro, Sega or Super. You know what I mean? So I chose Sega because my cousin Ernie had a Super Nintendo. So when I would go to his crib, I would play it.
Yep.
It would make it even more cooler because it's like, all right, look, I'll bring the Sega.
Yep.
Got the Super, bro. We can compare, even though, you know, Mortal Kombat didn't have blood. They was like leaking like out cement or whatever it was, unless you put the blood code in. He had the blood code for the Sega, so we was lit, but Super Nintendo had Street Fighter first.
Yep. So
that was the trade-off. But I started initially the regular Nintendo.
Okay.
Right. And then, like, I want to say like 93, bro. I don't know, Jason, if you remember Fedco. And Fedco is like an OG store.
Of course I remember Fedco, so right?
So Fedco.
By C's. Come on, my nigga.
Yeah, so my grandma like, yo, I'm about to go to Fedco. And they had the Atari 2600. So I got a chance to get the Atari 2600, and it came with like 30 cartridges. So I'm back there playing ColecoVision. I'm playing Pitfall. But the graphics is like really trash and really bad, but it was the flex. It was like, I got this system, yada, yada, yada. And I went back and started getting all of them. Like I had TurboGrafx-16, like
all that was kind the one of joints. With the one little joystick yep. like this.
Yeah, right? With the button on top.
The red button. Yeah. So, you know, like overall, it was just having older uncles. You know what I'm saying? My uncles, I had twin uncles that was like 9 years older than me. So they would say, oh, when I had this, or I don't play the game because it ain't like, so I'm still like that where I would buy stuff just to kind of entertain the guests. Like I got a PS5, bro. I don't be playing it. Like, but if Jason's like, yo, I want to play PS5. I'm like, oh, it's right there. Go ahead.
Bet.
Because that's always been me. Like I always buy Madden every year. I'm trash at Madden, but I know a bunch of people want to play it. So it's like the conversation piece.
Yep.
I'm
so terrified of getting online, bro. I don't get my ass.
Oh, now you're going to get a racial slur and get smoked by 50.
I don't need that in my life, bro.
By a 12-year-old, dog. You don't want that. You don't need that love.
That's what I'm saying, man. I'm trying to just get my stats up and see if I even ever need to go out there. I have no desire to, though.
Look, my biggest flex on 2K, I don't even tell people, like, I'll beat you in 2K no more. I just be like, look. They be like, yo, you play online? I'm like, yeah, I mean, I will, but I'll play you in person. But, like, look, I stopped playing once I became on the game because I'm actually in 2K. So it's like, you know, I'm the person telling
flex.
You. I'm the person telling you you're a creative player is trash. So you are you trying to make 100 rating? I'm telling you, like, nah, you gotta get your game tight. So I like that 2K has let me transition to the stands and just let me remain there. Like I don't hoop no more and I don't hoop on 2K no more, but I'm gonna buy the game. Well, I get the game every year just to see myself on it.
That's hard. I can't even hate on that. That's hard as hell.
Because yeah, like my nephew plays, like I can't keep up with Call of Duty and stuff like that. Like I'll play if you pull up at the crib. If
for
we
sure.
Just playing, you're not nice, you're not adjusting raw, you know, defensive sets, you're trying to press me. I can't do the crossover. I don't even know how to do crossovers no more. I'm just like, all right, I can spin. But as soon as you hit me, like you throwing lobs to, you know what I mean, players that don't even dunk.
Cutting the game off. No,
yeah, I'm kicking you out. I might break the TV, bro.
It gets like that. It's crazy how like you can still get wild aggressive over some stuff you know you should not be caring this much about. And I dog, every time. I hadn't had a gaming system since my like PS2. And all of a sudden, I'm standing up playing the game again. I'm like, I don't do this. Like, I'm too old for this shit. Like, why am I standing up watching this TV as if I'm like this much?
PS2 is a GOAT system, by the way. That's a GOAT system right there.
Oh, yeah.
That Blu-ray.
Yeah.
Well, not Blu-ray, but it had
it was a DVD player DVD though. Like you player, could, it was like the first player, one you could do that stuff with.
Yeah. I got Going in 60 Seconds free with that shit. That was a sick movie. I probably watched that in Belly nonstop in 2001 when I got the PS. I was the only person in the hood in my neighborhood in Compton that had it. If you didn't, everybody else had to go to Circuit City and play it on the demo. They had Madden 2001 with Marshall Faulk on the front.
Yep.
And cats would be like, "Yo, Trey got it though."
Yeah.
And I told the story before about my homie lying that he had one. He didn't even have to lie. I'm like, bro, I'm about to go to the bathroom. Y'all turn it on. I come back from the bathroom. They just sitting there waiting on me to turn the game on because he didn't know that the switch is in the back. I'm like, bro, you done told everybody at the school that you got one.
You got exposed.
You in 10th grade, bro, lying like this. You in 10th grade.
Ain't no need. Ain't no need, bro.
This shit ain't like having the J's.
Shout out to Gone in 60 Seconds and Eleanor.
Shout out to and the Shelby. That was a classic movie, bro. Day.
That's one of my favorite whips to this day. If I had 200 bands, I'd cop right now.
If only, bro.
Yeah.
So, Trevor, what made you transition from sports? Like, after sports, what made you want to get into what you're into now?
Oh, man. Like, graduated from school. I actually tried to kind of get right for the NFL. Picked up an agent, went down to Florida, trained for a month or two, did the pro day and everything at school. And I went down to the Falcons training camp. So it was like a dream come true, right? Being able to play for your hometown team and shit. And, you know, I kind of went through the dog and pony dance of like, saying they're going to call you, they don't call you, they string you along and say, hey, can you come back for a couple looks, a couple workouts, yada, yada, yada. And all the while, I had this, like, behind-the-scenes job over at ESPN kind of sitting. You know, it was entry level work. I was hiring like technical personnel. So I was hiring cameramen, audio, technical directors, all that stuff for our live remote events. It was like a scheduling job. And so eventually I was like, well, look, this really ain't carrying me nowhere when it came to the NFL stuff. I recognized that it wasn't going to go very far. I wasn't going to have a lot of longevity out of it anyway, especially playing running back. You know that if you aren't cream of the crop, people aren't, they're going to see you as more expendable than any other position. So with all of that understanding out of school, I was like, okay, I'll take this, you know, this opportunity I have waiting on me. I'm going to go capitalize on that. I know it's not what I want to do professionally, but I know that it gives me at least a foot in the door of the company that I want to be at. And so we get there, and through the help of the director that hired me, who actually went to Harvard as well, I was able to establish a couple connections on the talent side of things. I got a fellowship that kind of got me on that path to being on air at ESPN. And that's kind of what made the transition happen. But like, I always look back at just sitting on my couch one day and just realizing that there may not be the longevity that I want out of this NFL career. It was always a dream. It was something that I could envision myself doing, but was it the opportunity, the thing that I saw myself doing for a lifetime? And the answer was no to that. So I kind of just had that instantaneous epiphany that just kind of put it into perspective, and we rolled out. It was just a matter of that.
I have a similar path. So my senior year wasn't great. I was playing on broken foot, and I'm like, yo, I know my career over right now. I just feel it. Like, it's February. We're not going to the tournament. Like, I just know. I'm like, man, I'm about to go back to the hood of failure. Like, but I got my degree. And then I was like thinking, and something happened. Like, it was just like, I got better by the summer. And I actually linked up with like management, not even an agent, management on Twitter. And somebody was just like, yo, you know, like, have you ever been to Canada? I'm like, nah. They like, go get your passport tomorrow. You going? So I'm like, yo, all right. You know what I mean? I ain't got nothing else to do. So I ended up going to Toronto, and I went to, you know, the National Basketball League of Canada. It was a new league that was starting up. I go to the combine. It's cats everywhere. Like, I'm like, oh my God, we're staying in this like dormitory at like this university. And yeah, I ended up getting picked up, and like, things were cool. But it was just like, this not, what steps do I have to take to get to the NBA? And I'm going, I'm playing, and I'm not making a lot of money, but it's the idea, the brag. You come back home, like, yeah, I play overseas. Yeah, you know? And at that time, there's the golden era. Jason could tell you in LA, 2011, 2010, 2012, that's the clubs are booming. And like, most of my friends were in the NBA, so I didn't have to spend money. I could sleep on the couch until I have to go sign my next deal. So that first year was like, cool, you know, go play in Canada. I came back home, and right before I was going to do another deal, I was going to go to Europe, but like low level, not even like EuroLeague or anything like that. I compared and contrast the money. And I was like, is it worth the conversation being away from family? Because people were dying in my neighborhood, and, you know, I was losing family members. I'm like, man, I would make the same amount of money if I was, you know, working at a grocery store or anything. You know what I mean? No knock to people just working at a grocery store. Oh, yeah. But it was just kind of like, what am I really doing? You know what I mean? So I gave it one more shot. Boost Mobile actually had an open tryout, right? They partnered with the NBA D-League at the time. It wasn't Gatorade League yet. Yep. And they had a workout in like Torrance. So I go to the workout, free agent. I'm just like, whatever. They put me with the group of players. We're getting coached by like the assistant coach of the Los Angeles Defenders. Run a triangle. Well, offense I know really well. You know what I'm saying? My first game in that little open scrimmage, 16-5. The next game, 19-6. Things come to nature. They like, yo, you're going to end up with the, you know, like going to camp with the Defenders. I'm like, okay, cool. But I know I'm never going to get called up for the Lakers. I'm never going to get caught. First of all, Derek Fisher is never going to retire at this time. You know what I'm saying? And at the time, I don't even think it was Derek Fisher. It was it had like a random ass guard at that time. It wasn't even – they were like – Kobe was there, but like Kobe was like in and out of kind of figuring things out. He, health-wise, teams were bad. He was getting older. And I'm like, yo, can I be moved? So I got claimed by the Bakersfield Jam.
Okay.
And Bakersfield Jam was like associated with like the Warriors.
They didn't have Santa Cruz yet. You know, like Sacramento Kings had like a little hand in that. So they could pull me. I'm like, these teams are both bad. Post Baron Davis, post We Believe. Steph Curry was there.
Yeah.
Not,
but he wasn't people, there
yet. He wasn't yeah. him yet. You know what I'm saying? They were playing AC Law over him, sadly. You know what I'm saying? Shout out to AC Law, though. It's not a shot to him.
Oh, of course.
I thought like I can get a look. So then my rights got traded to Idaho Stampede, and I ended up in Boise, Idaho. And I'm like, I've never been here. So I'm like geeked. I'm talking to my boys. I had a BlackBerry at the time. We're in BBM. And I'm just like, yeah, you know, like, hey, man, we bought the, you know what I'm saying? Because it was a classic story. Soon the other games from New York had hit, had got called up to the D-League, from the D-League to the Utah Jazz and hit a game winner. And that was the feel-good story. So I'm like, oh, that's me next. I can do it. You know what I'm saying? I get to the Stampede, and I'm there. I arrive in Idaho. I get to my hotel. And we get to the practice facility. It's a boys and girls club. And I'm like, oh, this ain't the NBA. Like, what is this? I've been bamboozled. I've been hoodwinked. Like, what is this?
Led astray.
Bro, run and they're like breaking it down to me like, yeah, the finances is not, you know, how it is. And then they broke it down to how much I would make. So I'm like, all right, I get to camp. And like towards the last day, they call me in. And that's probably the longest. When you're getting cut, and I don't know if you've experienced that as a pro, it's the longest walk to that office to get released.
Yes.
They say,
yes.
Hey, look, it's not personal. Keep rock, you know, keep working on your game. You know, you had an excellent camp. I got waived, and guess who they signed?
Who the?
Antoine Walker.
Oh, shit.
I imagine getting cut is like getting fired.
Oh, it was 24. Listen,
and that's,
but it was, Jason, it was so like mulling of like, oh, is this the politics of it all? You got moved for a bigger name, who someone who didn't really need to be in the, he had a championship ring, bro. So I was trying to understand. I'm like, I'm a big fan of this dude. For my career to end on that, I was just like, word up, that's cool. And I left with like such a nasty feeling about basketball. It was
really?
Like three years I didn't watch basketball at all. Like, so 2012 to like 2014, I was around it, but I really didn't like keep up with most of it.
Wasn't fooling with it. Yeah.
I was cool because I was just like, it's so many politics in it. And I hate to use politics in it, but it is politics and everything. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I can play the best basketball. I mean, to this day, my claim is that I had Jay Crowder and, you know, Darius, all the Marquette guys in Milwaukee. I would open up the Bucks practice facility and play against these guys, and I would not miss and be killing. And I'm like, you know, if you look at Jay Crowder now, it's like, okay, he's effective.
Yeah.
Man, like, these cats can really vouch for me at a time when I could dunk and I could shoot and do all this other stuff. And at my best, I still wasn't good enough. So that's time for me to hang it up.
Yeah, no, it's that realization. But
that was it. That was just a realization of like, you've peaked. You've earned your respect from your peers.
Yep.
Now, as on the other side of a, you know, media, when I walk into these locker rooms, I'm still getting dapped.
Right.
I played against the John Walls, the James Hardens, whoever it may be in the Drew League or the Hacks or whatever. We've played against each other. And they like, you on Twitter could say some crap to us. All those other dudes, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, it is cool, man.
There's a level of credibility that's associated with having been through the grind, right? Like, that's like the biggest thing. You have that self-awareness and how to talk about that stuff and how to critique and stuff like that. Like, that's the biggest thing that I've found in my relationships with, like, cats that played college football. Like, I'm able to kind of align myself with their mentality, understand what they're going through mentally. Sure, I have critical things to say, but I know how to frame it. And I know how to say that, like, I know where it comes from my being is that it's not from some hater ass position. Like I understand what you went through, and I can understand what you were thinking in that moment. And it may not have been the right thing, but we can kind of hash that out.
My only regret is I should have shot more. Because when people because when people Google me, they say, oh, you was only like 4 points a game or 6 points a game. I'm like, bro, like during that time, Rondo, Marcus Williams, like Chris Paul wasn't shooting crazy like until he got comfortable in that role. It was a lot of guys that were pass first point guards.
Yeah, the combo guard wasn't hitting like that.
And I got stuck in the mix because they used to kill Allen Iverson for shooting too much. And I was like, we're the same height, bro. Like, I don't think I'm going to be dunking on those 7-footers, so I need to change my game up. So I got stuck in that middle ground of like team first. You know, I know how to run an offense. And right when I was just making that transition, guys are scoring 30 again. And I'm like, oh, shit. Like, my stats not going to look like that, bro. Because you look at me, I'm a rebounding point guard. I probably average like career-wise, 7.5 rebounds, assists, 9.2. Yep. You go to them points per game, 5. I'm shooting 3, a layup. Jason, you would not draft me in your fantasy. You
say that. Oh, I'm saying, like, how you averaging 3 points out of school? Nobody, like, team, nobody.
I mean, because I just thought that, like, you know,
you playing within the system.
Oh, get ready to say it.
Hey, you know how on Toy Story, the claw, I was figuring somebody would rescue me out of that. Like, look. He has talent, get him.
Yeah, they saw you on that dream of being found, like regardless of where you at. But it don't happen if you ain't getting money out there. Like, that's the biggest thing.
How about all of that?
You got to go for self, son.
All right, so the question that we ask all our guests is, what advice would you give your 18-year-old self?
Ooh, 18-year-old self. Man, at 18 years old, I was so worried about how I would be perceived. Coming from the east side of Atlanta, going up to Boston, talking funny according to them, and thinking that I had something to be afraid of as far as just being able to keep up from an intellectual level because of where I came from. And I would just empower my younger self to lean into who you are, be comfortable in who you are, and understand that even if you don't know it in that moment, there's a way to go find out what it means, and there's a way to go find out exactly whatever you're seeking. That knowledge is out there. It's there to be attained. But don't worry about knowing everything right off the rip. There's a beauty to the process of learning through life and experience. And I was in a rush to know everything in that very moment when I was leaving the comfort of home and going off to be on my own in the Northeast, that I got wrapped up in the idea of needing to know everything and be on my own so much that I didn't appreciate the idea of just learning as I go.
Man, that's some solid advice, man. Hopefully, you know, some of our listeners can apply that. You know, even people that's out of school, people that's older than 18. Oh, yeah. You know, every episode, there's some advice to apply to themselves, man. Yeah, Trevor, life, man, go ahead.
Life is about the journey.
For sure.
That's what it is. As Nip says, man, it's the marathon, bro. We ain't in no sprint. So, man, Trevor, man, this has been an amazing episode. Thank you for joining us again, bro.
No, man, pleasure's all mine, fellas. Y'all stay up, stay safe, man. Amidst all this mess, madness going down, man, keep protect your mentals, as one Marshawn Lynch would say.
Thanks.
Growing up the same wins the game.
Yo, Rob.
Yo, Amin.
What's the biggest complaint I always have whenever we record these podcasts?
Besides Jerv being too sleepy, I think it's you forget to name a couple of things. You always want to talk about some extra stuff.
Oh, man. It's the worst feeling in the world. When we get done and we say cut and I'm sending the files to Rob and I say, shit, I forgot we were going to talk about this topic or that topic. Well, guess what? We're not going to have those problems anymore if you go ahead and download the Stereo app. That's right. Go to stereo.com/DarthAmin and make sure you are linked and subscribe to us. And we're going to talk about all of the different things that I always forget about. This is a great app. Every time you guys are listening to this pod, you say, oh, I wish I could chime in. But you're listening to a pod. You can never chime in. It's pre-recorded. Guess what? With Stereo, you're able to have your voice heard. You can ask real-time questions about either the pod episode we recorded or whatever we're talking about at the time. It's great. It's a forum for you to listen to your favorite podcasters, that'll be me, and yours truly, all at the Count the Things Network. And we're going to be out here. We're going to do this regularly, multiple times a week. Just hop on Stereo, download the app, subscribe, follow Darth Amin, follow Talk Hoops, follow Trayvon, follow Big Waz, all of us. You know who we are. You search for us on the Stereo app. You will find us. and subscribe to us and be a part of these conversations real time. Have the ability to ask the questions that you want to ask. Stop us when we're on some bullshit, as we are frequently. And of course, catch some content that goes above and beyond what you listen to in the podcast you already love. Again, that is the Stereo app. And you can follow me, stereo.com/Darth Amin. You can look up everybody else by their handles. Their handles are all the same as what we have on social media. You can join us multiple times a week. I love Stereo. I'm on the app talking all the time. Follow me and get notified every time I go live.